Today, APRA adds a little late spice to its mortgage wet lettuce. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, from recent APRA data, we know that the proportion of residential mortgages that have been issued at higher risk, looking at debt-to-income ratios, for example, has been rising fast. Banks have been willing to lend big. After all, it's the main profit game in town, and with little risk capital needed, it's pretty obvious for them to do as much as they can. The amorphous but unaccountable Council of Financial Regulators, that's Treasury, RBA, APRA, ASIC and some other hangers-on, said recently the Council is mindful that a period of credit growth materially outpacing growth in household income would add to the medium-term risks facing the economy, notwithstanding that lending standards remain sound. Against this background, the Council discussed possible macroprudential policy responses. APRA will continue to consult with the Council on the implementation of any particular measure. Over the next couple of months, APRA also plans to publish an information paper on its framework for implementing macroprudential policy. The Council of Financial Regulators serves as a discussion and information sharing forum for its four members, APRA, ASIC, RBA and Treasury, and it plays a key role in coordinating policy responses by regulatory authorities in Australia, especially where there are matters of common interest to members' agencies' mandates, but of course no direct accountability nor responsibility. Now, while the key tools for macroprudential policy are for APRA to deploy, APRA views consultation with the Council of Financial Regulators as an essential prerequisite for initiating any actions. Well, now that paper's landed. Yesterday, APRA issued a media release, an information paper outlining its framework for using macroprudential tools to promote financial stability. For APRA, high and rising house prices would be an important risk factor that could signal that risks in the financial system are building. But financial stability, rather than housing affordability, would be the objective of any macroprudential policy measures. Unlike other prudential requirements, macroprudential policy would only be implemented where there are heightened risks of financial stability, they said. Given the forward-looking nature of such an assessment, determining when a macroprudential policy response may be appropriate is necessarily based on judgment, informed by consultation with the CFR and a range of key indicators. APRA's measures to reinforce sound residential mortgage lending practices in 2015 and 17 were applied during an upswing in the financial cycle. The environment was characterized by high and rising housing prices and household indebtedness, subdued income growth and low interest rates. APRA's concern was that bank lending practices in aggregate were amplifying those risks, reflected in systematic weakness in serviceability assessments and strong growth in higher risk lending. Throughout this period, APRA introduced measures which limited growth in banks lending to investors and the concentration of interest-only loans in new lending. While these temporary benchmarks were in place, APRA also strengthened the rigour of banks' underwriting serviceability assessment standards. APRA monitors a range of key indicators to determine whether risks to financial stability are highlighted. This includes four main indicators that have been shown empirically to provide an indication of emerging systemic risk: credit growth and leverage, growth in asset prices, lending conditions, and financial resilience. They said there's no mechanical link between any indicator and APRA's decisions on macroprudential measures. In combination, the indicators help to inform APRA's judgments on the outlook. For example, strong growth in asset prices alone could present limited risk to financial stability where lending standards remain prudent and the banking sector is strongly capitalized. In contrast, growth that is driven by weak lending standards or higher risk loans would likely be a strong indicator that risks to financial stability are rising. And they provided a snapshot of macroprudential tools that have been used internationally around capital, credit, liquidity, and structure. APRA's existing core macroprudential toolkit has primarily focused on capital and credit measures that can be deployed through the banking sector. Of course, this is mostly wet lettuce stuff, so as not to slow the mortgage lending rocket, as credit growth is seen as a critical element in growing household balance sheets, spending capacity, and so GDP. never mind the risks. But now, to improve the effectiveness of future macroprudential policy responses, APRA plans to embed further measures into its banking prudential standards. This will ensure that a broader range of tools can be implemented in a timely, consistent, and enforceable manner. In considering an appropriate macroprudential response, APRA's primary objective is financial stability. Depending on the risks, certain tools may be more appropriate than others. Indeed, the documents indicate that debt-to-income ratio limits and serviceability buffer changes are to be embedded into APRA's standard for credit risk management. So they've written to the banks asking for feedback on those proposals to formalise and embed credit-based macroprudential policy measures within its prudential standard for credit risk. The proposals include a set of credit-based macroprudential measures that could be used to address systemic risk, should they be needed. It would also require ADIs to pre-position in advance to address potential barriers to implementation, supporting a timely response to any emerging risks. The change in focus on risks in residential mortgage lending and commercial property lending, which accounts for more than 70% of total credit extended in Australia, according to APRA. The proposed credit-based macroprudential measures include lending limits applied at portfolio level that could be used to moderate any excessive growth in higher risk lending during periods of heightened systemic risk, minimum requirements for lending standards applied at the individual loan level that includes measures such as the serviceability buffer for residential mortgages, and APRA will formalise and embed these credit-based macroprudential policy measures via an attachment to its prudential standard APS 220 credit risk management. And it will require banks to first ensure that they have the ability to limit growth in particular forms of lending, moderate higher risk lending during periods of heightened systemic risk, or meet particular lending standards at levels determined by APRA, ensure that there would be adequate reporting in place to monitor against limits. For residential mortgage lending, APRA says the banks should ensure that they have the ability to limit the extent of lending in the following loan types: lending with a debt-to-income ratio greater or equal than 4 times or 6 times, lending with a loan-to-value ratio greater or equal than 90 or 80%, lending for the purposes of investment, lending on an interest-only basis, lending with a combination of any two of those types. Banks must also apply a buffer over a loan's interest rate to assess the serviceability of a borrower by at least 3%. That, of course, was previously announced, but the regulator said it may vary the minimum level of the buffer between 2% and 5%. For commercial property lending, banks must ensure that it has the ability to limit the extent of lending in the following loan categories: lending for land acquisition, development and construction, lending for the purposes of investment. APRA will notify ADIs of any decision to set a limit, including the limit level and the date from which it would apply for the loan type specified by APRA. And APRA said it would notify ADIs of any decision to set a limit, including the limit level and the date from which it would apply. It said the banks must also report to the board the level of lending against any limits specified by APRA on at least a monthly basis for the period in which the limits apply. And APRA will also require ADIs to publicly disclose the level of lending against any limits specified by APRA for the period in which the limits apply. And as well as lending limits, APRA is also consulting on a small change to the reporting definition of borrower income for the purposes of calculating debt-to-income and loan-to-income ratios. That's under reporting standard ARS 223 Residential Mortgage Lending to, quote, ensure alignment with the new attachment. It is proposing amending the definition of a borrower's gross income to borrower's annual before-tax income verified by an ADI, excluding any compulsory superannuation contributions and before any discounts or haircuts under the ADI's serviceability assessment policy. APRA's chair, Wayne Bias, highlighted that while the proposed changes do not change the potential macroprudential tools APRA may use or provide APRA with additional powers, they instead change the way in which certain measures may be applied. And he explained, at present, APRA's ability to implement macroprudential measures is somewhat indirect, with credit measures typically enforced through the potential imposition of higher capital requirements where needed. By defining certain credit measures within APS 220, APRA's objective is to strengthen the transparency, implementation and enforceability of macroprudential policy. And APRA said it may also broaden the focus of macroprudential measures contained in APS 220 if over time other portfolios potentially grow in systemic importance or other risks emerge, and may also review, add or revise the loan types specified on a regular basis to ensure that the range of measures remain up to date and appropriate to the risk management. But in the decision by APRA to implement temporary limits for particular forms of lending or to set minimum requirements for lending standards would be publicly communicated, and banks will be notified of any limits for the specified loan types ahead of the date from which they would apply, it said. And while the standard changes mainly impact banks, APRA suggested that non-banks should also review the changes, as it is APRA's expectation that any rules, if introduced for non-ADI lenders, would likely mirror those set out for ADIs in the draft attachment to APS 220. Should APRA determine that non-ADI lenders are materially contributing to risk of instability in the Australian financial system, the draft attachment to APS 220 sets out the main types of credit-based macroprudential measures that APRA would likely apply, Byers explained. As part of this consultation process, non-ADI lenders should consider the macroprudential measures set out in the draft attachment to APS 220, and any future rules introduced by APRA for non-ADI lenders will be legally binding and made under delegated legislation. So APRA is now calling for specific feedback on the implementation issues that could arise from using the definition of higher risk loans as described. Written submissions on the proposals should be in by the 28th of February 2022. And they also said from 1 January 2022, ADIs will be required to meet the previously finalised requirements of APS 220, credit risk management. The regulator expects to finalise its responses to the consultation on the new attachment in the first half of 2022, with these new requirements coming into effect shortly thereafter. So, the takeout from this is that APRA is moving extremely slowly and pretty cautiously. Nothing's going to happen for at least a few months, probably into the middle of next year, by which, of course, a lot of damage will have already been done. So this is, as I said at the start, more wet lettuce with just a touch of spice. If they were serious about wanting to deal with the risks in the mortgage sector, not only would they be messing around with LTI and debt-to-income ratios, but they should be also considering individual households and their ability to service their mortgages. We know that many households are really up against it at the moment. But of course, that is not directly financial stability. And in fact, nobody in the financial sector really has clear accountability here. And remember, of course, the government was trying to turn off ASIC's responsible lending provisions to take that even further away from where it currently exists. So I have to say that the net take out of all this is very, very fuzzy stuff. It's really not going to make a huge difference in the short term. But I do also think that lenders probably, in their heart of hearts, know that things should be tightened because many people are up to their eyes in debt and big loans are still being written. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.